How's everybody doing today? Everybody's doing all right? Good. Y'all look good today. Y'all looking good. I got to say, you're looking good today. I'm excited about today's message. I want to echo one thing Cynthia said. Our e-group sign up are back there in the back. Hey, we have some new e-group leaders this semester, and so I'm really excited. Why don't we give those guys a hand? Hey, they're going to be hanging out in the back after service. I'm really excited about our new e-group leaders, so make sure you find those groups. Sign up for an e-group. You got to get in an e-group. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get in an e-group. You got to get in an e-group. It's going to be so good. And so we're excited about our e-groups kicking off. You can sign up today. And also we'll have them online so you can go online and find them there as well. So last week we kicked off this series, This Is Us, with Pastor Scott. How many of you guys enjoyed Pastor Scott last week? He was funny, man. I better step up my game today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. I heard that amen. That's a little bit much. It's a little too soon. Wait till I say the first point, then you can say that. But last week, we kicked off this family series entitled This Is Us. And Pastor Scott talked specifically about marriage. But this series is geared for everyone who is a part of a family. If you're a part of a family, let me see you just raise your hand. If you are a part of a family, this series is just for you. Sometimes when you start doing series like this, people who are single and stuff, they just start backing off thinking, oh, this ain't for me. This is for all of us. Because the last time I checked, all families needed help. All of them, okay? And family isn't just you, your husband, you and your wife and your kids. Because I want to remind you, you got a mama and a daddy too. We forget that sometimes, okay? And so when we're talking about family, we're not just talking about husband, wife, and kids. We're talking about all the family, okay? All y'all, okay? And so no matter if you're a husband or a wife, son or a daughter, parent, sister, brother, there are some things that we're going to share that I think is going to help us to be better families, because I think we should have excellent families. Am I right? I think our families should absolutely be incredible. And I think we can do that. I think we can get there. And so why This Is Us? Why are we calling it This Is Us? Because I like the TV show This Is Us. It'll be coming back on in a couple of weeks. I can't wait. And Cynthia will cry her face off every single time. I'm serious, man. We start watching that show. She cries. My eyes sweat a couple of times. But it's a fantastic show, and it's pretty real. And but also, I believe that families are in a dilemma, trying to figure out how to do life together. This is where I think families are. We're trying to figure out how to do life together. So we have a lot of family events that we participate in, and we do great with the family events, but we don't do so well at home. This is where the struggle is, because we can get little Johnny to behave himself in front of everybody most of the time. But when we're at home, that's where the real stuff comes out. Not just their real stuff, your real stuff too. And little Johnny might be 18. Little Johnny might be 35. Come on, somebody. Little Johnny might be the grandpa. He just little, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he just didn't get big, you know? You still have to deal with it. And we don't always do so well with dealing with these kinds of things. And so a lot of times it results in some passive silence, or it results in this, I'm bowing up and I'm getting in your face and I'm letting you know how it is. And these things create some tension in our homes that down the road can lead to some dysfunction. And I think we can work on it, and I think we can fix it. I think we can do it right. Amen? I think we can. I know we can. And so maybe you're sitting in here today, and maybe that's where you're at. Maybe there's a struggling marriage. Or maybe you're a college student, and you are fighting with your mom and dad right now, and it ain't over money. It's over life decisions. Come on. This is the real stuff. And it's causing tension, not just with you and them, but even throughout the rest of the family. Maybe it's something between a dad and a son, and it's affecting the husband-wife relationship. See, all of these things are interconnected, and it's affecting our families. It's affecting these relationships. And so we got to work on it. We got to put some work into it, because I believe that our This Is Us doesn't have to be a Jerry Springer edition. Amen? It doesn't have to. I think it can be great. I think it could be fantastic. I think you could be riding on the way to vacation and look in the rearview mirror at all of your family and say, this is us. We got an awesome family. Or you could be riding while they all sleep and saying, God, what have you done to me? Come on now. Got marriages that are struggling, parents and kids' relationships struggling, sibling relationships are struggling. There are people that hadn't talked to a brother or sister in years and years and years. Think about this. And before you realize it, our families are becoming something that we never, ever thought it would be or never, ever wanted it to be. And when you finally realize that this is us, that's where you got to ask yourself this question. Is this who we want to be? Is this who we want us to be? Because us is who you're going to be running with for the rest of your life. No matter if you're talking to them or not, you're going to be running with them. They are going to be involved in your life. And that's why we should make us great. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to make us great. I hope y'all family and stuff. So I think of it like this. As a family, we're either going to be a thermometer or we're going to be a thermostat. You've heard this example before. We're either going to always be reactive to what's happening, or we're going to set the temperature. We're going to set the tone for what we want our homes to be, for how we know it could be and how it should be. And really, the decision is up to us. And you say, well, I don't run my house. I'm just a kid and I live there. You still have a part in it. Amen. And maybe you're the wife and you say, well, my husband is just ruling this thing. You have a part in it. And maybe you're a husband and just say, I'm just trying to make my wife happy. You have a part in it. Amen? All of us have a part in you saying, I don't know what's wrong with my kids. They are never happy. Maybe you have a part in that. Just maybe. Just maybe. I know you don't want to laugh on that part, but maybe. See, no laughter, no amens. Okay. But what if we work on this stuff? And what if we improve it? What if we improve the relationships in our home to where our families are healthy? I'm not just talking about physically healthy, but emotionally healthy, to where there's no question about us making it. Am I right? That we're not worried about us making it because it's healthy, it's strong. I'm not worried about my kids going astray because we are healthy and we are strong. I believe that we can get there. I believe that we can work on it. I believe that we can have healthy families. Amen. And if we can be healthy, I believe we're going to be happy. Because you can't be happy if you ain't healthy. When you don't feel good, you get cranky. Amen. Some of you, I could tell you don't feel good today, or something happened yesterday that made you feel the way you feel. And I'm not talking about football. Colossians chapter 3. I didn't bring it up, you did. Colossians 3, verse 12. Let's read. Let's get into this before we lose you. Okay. Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves. Holy, that means set apart, called out. Since God chose you to be set apart, the people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And some of us just read that verse and say, oh my, I have work to do. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Still got work to do. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let's pray. Lord, I pray today that as we share this message, God, as we share these thoughts, that it's going to inspire hope in every person here, that we can have healthy relationships, that we can have healthy families. Lord, that we can be the picture of family exactly what you created for it to be. And I just pray now that the Holy Spirit himself will speak to every heart today, giving us the confidence, Lord, that even though we may not know how, that if we trust you and we follow you, Father, that you will build it in us. You will build our families. So, Lord, today I ask for your help in communicating this. Lord, help me to speak it in a way that is life-giving, but also in a way that is life-changing. So, Lord, I thank you for our time together, believing that it's going to be fruitful and it's going to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to think about building a home for a second. Cynthia and I just recently bought a new home, and we have been doing some remodeling and moving some walls and all these things. One of the most essential parts of a home, the key ingredient of that home, is the foundation. The foundation of the home. Now, we understand that rock is the most solid foundation. And so to put it in perspective of what we're talking about today is that if we're going to have homes, families that are going to last, they must be built upon a solid foundation, the rock of Christ Jesus. Amen. So we have this understanding. Let's go ahead and reach an agreement real quick. We all understand that the foundation of our homes, the foundation of our families, must be the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Amen? So that's the solid rock. But listen, if all you have is a rock, I want you to imagine sleeping tonight on a rock with nothing over your head. Tomorrow when you go to work, you're really going to be cranky. Because I don't think you're going to sleep that well. Some of you, you might, okay? But for most of us, we won't. And a lot of people, they're sitting there just saying, all you need is Jesus, all you need is Jesus, all you need is Jesus. And that is true. You do need Jesus, but you need some work as well. And there are some things that you and I need, and there's some work that needs to be put into it to build the kinds of families and homes that we really want. So watch this. If you're going to build a quality home, you've got to have some quality materials. Amen? If you go with the cheap stuff, it's not going to last. And a lot of times we settle for cheap stuff because it looks good. We like the veneer. We don't want the real. Okay? Because it's cheaper, it doesn't cost us as much. But if we're going to have a family and a home that is going to last, we've got to have quality materials. But that, listen, they will come and drop the materials off on the job site. Someone has to put it together. Someone, watch this, someone has to put some work into it. And can I just say this, and you might want to write this down because this is life-changing. It takes work to have a great family. It takes work to have a great family. But can I say this, that the work can be very rewarding. It can be very fulfilling. And some of you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You ought to see what's going on in my family. Listen, there are seasons and chapters in every family's life. So let's not fall into the trap to think that we're the only ones that are messed up and don't have it all together. There are a lot of families represented in this room. If you really knew what was going on, you would say, I feel a lot better about myself. So you need some quality materials. You got to put some work into it. But you also have to have some skills. And Pastor Scott made reference to that last week, that we got to have some skills. In other words, there are some things that we have to learn to do if we're going to build great homes, if we're going to have a great family. And can I just say this, that every family member has a part in building a great family. It's not just mom and dad and husband and wife. I believe that kids play a part in building a great home. I need better amens than that. I'm serious. Our kids have a part in it as well. Can I say this, that the wife, the mom, cannot build a great home by herself. Okay? And dad cannot build a great home by himself. Come on, let's balance this out before all the ladies think we do all the work around here. Come on, let's balance this out. Now, how you think? We all have to put some work into it. And the question is this, do we see the value of the work? In other words, is it worth the work? And I believe it is. Can I tell you that your family is worth all the work that you have to put into it? You say, well, I've been working really hard on getting our family together. It is worth the work. You may have been working on this thing. We've been working on our marriage for 10 years. It is worth the work. Amen? It's worth it. I've been working on that relationship with my son for the last 10 years. It is worth it. I've been working on that relationship with my dad. It is worth the work. Talked to a guy this week. He told me I hadn't talked to his dad in 18 years, but he's planning a trip. It's worth the work, y'all. It's worth it. It's hard, but it's worth it. It's all worth it. So what I want to do today is I want to start out giving you some qualities of some emotionally healthy relationships in the family. Emotionally healthy, because this is where the traps are. It's in our emotions, because we got a bunch of mixture of emotions going on, and sometimes we legitimize some things that aren't even legit. and we think some things. We come up with these scenarios and all these things of what's happening that's not really happening. Sometimes we nail it, sometimes we don't. But there's a mixture of emotions going on inside of us that make us predict things, that make us accuse people of things. I mean, it's just a mixture of things. And a lot of times it's because we're afraid, and a lot of times it's because we just don't know. And because we don't know, we don't want to be stuck in a position where we were not prepared. And so because of that, what we do is we build up all these defense mechanisms with all these ideas and all these plans and all these, and the root of it is these emotions. So what I want to do over the next 2 weeks is hit 10 qualities of emotionally healthy relationships. Now, these will apply to you and your spouse. These will apply to you and your kids. These will apply to you and your brother or your sister. Come on, amen. Somebody needed that one. All right. So I don't want you to think this is just for married people. This is for all of us. This is for anybody who is in a family. Because at the end of the day, the last time I checked, all of your family is relationships. A lot of the things that we're trying to do, we're not using the relationship to do it. We're taking shortcuts instead of doing it relationally. We're trying to stand up and become things in our family that we don't have the business to be. And we forfeit relationships to do it. And a lot of times you see husbands do it. I'm the king of this castle. Bad move, fellas. Bad move. Happy wife, happy life. Bad move, mama. Bad move, because what we're doing is we're setting these tones in our homes. In other words, you have to do all this to make me happy, and if I ain't happy, then you are wrong. You see, we set ourselves up for failure, and a lot of times it's because we haven't been using quality materials. We don't have the qualities to go into our emotions to build this thing the way it really needs to be. Now, some of you don't like talking about emotions. I'm not an emotional person, Pastor Wade. I just don't deal well with emotions. I need you to know you are emotional. You are emotional about not being emotional. You are. The way you present you, I'm not emotional. Well, that was an emotion just now. That was pride. That's what that was. Oh, don't call me prideful. What is that? You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like we put ourselves in a place to where we're untouchable. You're not untouchable. Because we all have emotions. We may not demonstrate those emotions like other people do, but we all have emotions that we're working with here. And those emotions are playing into our family. So this week, what we're going to do is we're going to cover numbers 1 through 5, and next week we'll do 6 through 10, okay? So let's jump right in. We're talking about 10 qualities of emotionally healthy relationships, okay? The first one, I figured we'd get this one out of the way first and up front. The first one is affection. Because I know as soon as you say affection, there's that whole crowd of people that says, well, I'm just not an affectionate person. I need you to know that at one time in your life, you were. You know, I don't believe it. When you were a baby, you were affectionate. Because you loved it whenever your mama would hold you. Are you grabbing this today? Babies love to be held. Most of the time, they're crying because they want to be held. I'm not an expert on babies, so don't send me emails and stuff. Like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Babies cry because they're hungry and they're dirty. We know that. We know, but they like to be held. They learned over time that I don't like people touching me. They learned that over time. This is something that we learned. But listen, for us to have some emotionally healthy relationships, we need to have some affection. And this is what affection is. Let's make sure that we define this so that we understand, okay? Affection is the ability to openly express verbal. You see, we just went somewhere there. Because everybody's just thinking of physical touch, but the ability to openly express verbal and physical affection to the satisfaction of your spouse, your child, your parent, your sibling. It's the ability to express something verbal or physical to that person. Now, think of that. Can I show affection to my family verbally? Because sometimes the conversation, like, I ain't telling them nothing. Last time we talked, this is what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like the last time I told them something, we got into it. And so now we start backtracking away from some of the very things that we should be sharing. Spent the week with my dad this week, And many of you have met my dad. My dad's a very emotional person. My dad's a very affectionate person. He likes to talk. He likes to hug. He likes to put his hand on your shoulder. All this stuff, and so different people were coming around, and we were at the ball game, and there were some friends of from church that were there at the ball game, and he was being very affectionate verbally. And sometimes people don't know how to take that. But can I tell you, people appreciate verbal affection. Watch this. This is how it sounds. I appreciate you taking care of that. Isn't that good? Imagine this. Imagine if your teenage son came up to you and said, "Dad, Mom, I appreciate all the discipline that you have imparted into my life." Some of you would just faint right there. I mean, you would just drop to the floor. But wouldn't you want to hear it? Am I right? Wouldn't you want to hear it? Verbal affection. What about touch? So like my boys are getting older now, you know, and so I get the opportunity to drop them off for school. And so I always keep my ACE card in the back pocket that if you ever do something to me, I'm going to reach over there and kiss you on the face in front of all your friends. You know what I'm saying? I mean, imagine getting dropped off at middle school and all your friends are sitting right there like, "Come here, boy," and grab them by the shoulder and kiss them on the face. Hey, man, as a parent, you got to set yourself up. But can I tell you, a lot of the affection now is some fist bumps, some high fives. You know what I'm saying? Roughing them up a little bit. You know what I'm doing? I'm saying that I have enough attention for you that I'm going to connect verbally and physically. Think about what spouses, affection. We need affection. We were made for affection. And this one is a challenge for us because sometimes we don't know. That's a lot of things in our relationships. We just don't know. I say, try it. Try being affectionate with each other. In fact, spouses should hold hands. If you go to the mall, hold your wife's hand. Because that's what you did when you dated her. Come on. Why we quit? Why did we quit? You see teenagers walking around the mall. They're like all over each other and stuff. They're like, "Oh, yeah, you need to quit." Well, what are we doing? You see what I'm saying? Like, where's the affection going? We get to the point that we get so agitated with everything. It's like, "Don't talk to me and don't touch me." That is breaking down our family, though, y'all. These are the thoughts that is breaking down our families. We need affection. We need to communicate. And we need to touch. When you're sitting on the couch, hold their hand. Put your arm around. I can remember this. I was thinking of this week. I can remember specific moments as a kid growing up in church where my dad would just put his arm around me. And I still like it to this day. I don't know what it was. It was just, maybe his arm was tired the way he had it. But he would put it around me and it just made me feel like he wanted me. That's what it made me feel like. Affection, it goes a long way. So Romans 12 says this: love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Love each other with genuine affection. So verbal and physical affection to the satisfaction of your spouse, child, parent, or sibling. Showing affection. The safest place for affection is in the family. Think of that. That's the safe place. I have a daughter. I'm already thinking ahead, man. Some little dude is going to want to hold her hand. Some little dude's going to want to kiss her. Yeah. Some little dude's going to want to take her to the dance and move side to side for a little while. You know what I'm saying? And as a parent, I could take the approach of the shotgun. And completely disconnect from her. Or, you know what I can do? Or I can hold her hand. Or I can hug her. And then whenever that little dude tries, it's like, "You ain't as good as my daddy." See, you got to up your game. I'm trying to help you here today. Up your game. But here's the thing. It's hard to show love when we don't love ourselves. It's hard to express love it's hard to express that kind of affection when we really don't love ourselves. And can I say, a lot of times we're just too hard on ourselves. I'm not trying to give you some little polished, pretty message today, but I do know that we are pretty hard on ourselves. Can we lighten the load a little bit and say what God says about us instead of just what we think? See, that was worth you coming here today, just that one thing. So watch this. How do I improve this? Because I could tell you the things that we need, okay? But how are we going to improve this? And this is what I would recommend, all right? Get close to people who have a healthy love for God and a healthy love for their family. Amen. Look for some examples. Look at families where it's working and do what they do. See, a lot of times we're waiting for us to feel it before we do it. Can I say this? You're going to start doing it and the right feelings are going to follow it. Do the right things and the right feelings follow. Okay? So affection. And listen, today I'm trying to stay in teaching mode because I don't want you to just get inspired, because then you just go away from here excited and then you wind up hollering. Okay? We don't need hollering. We've got to work on this stuff. And so I want to challenge you as a family, begin to look at examples of families where affection really, really works and begin to do what they do. When you see that guy holding his wife's hand, I love seeing that, by the way. I saw a man and his daughter in the store the other day, and this was an older daughter. She was probably in high school, and he was holding her hand, and they were going to look at makeup. That's pretty incredible. I believe that girl loves her daddy. I believe that daddy loves his girl. Come on, somebody. I do. And they're showing affection. In other words, he's like, I'm proud of this girl, and I will show it publicly. So affection. High five your sons. Hug your family. Hug them. Let them know you love them. I miss you. All these different things. Let's communicate it, and let's show it. Affection, okay? So that's the first thing. Let's work on it. Here's the second thing. Number two. This is another quality of emotionally healthy relationships. Number two is empathy. Empathy. And y'all are like, what? Empathy, okay? Empathy is the ability to empathize, I'm going to get it, with others and focus on the needs and desires of others in your family. Can I just say this is a nicer way of saying it ain't all about you? Empathy. If you just want the little side version definite, it ain't all about me, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Pastor Scott made a comment last week. Man, I thought, woo, that's a good one. That one's strong. But he said, unhappy people are selfish people. He said that, so don't look at me like that, okay? He said it. I'm just saying what he said. Unhappy people are selfish people. That means it's all about them. So watch this. Let me add this to it. When you are not well emotionally, you think about yourself all the time. Because we have needs. There's needs in our life that isn't met. And so it's going to be hard for you to empathize with someone else whenever you have a need yourself. And so we do this in a lot of areas of our life. We say, I can't help anyone until I am okay. And that's true to a degree. Because it's like saying, well, son, I can't help you because I'm still not okay. So you have to wait till I get okay before I can help you. Think of that. And that happens. That happens in our homes. It happens in our family. And what happens is we turn so internal that we forget about what we have right there in front of us. And without realizing it, over time, we begin to lose it. We begin to lose our place in the home. We begin to lose our influence in the home because we've made it all about ourselves. And so to have empathy, I want to make sure I say that right. That's a tough word. I don't know why I'm struggling today. To have empathy, I have to think of others and not just think about me. Think about how it's going to affect them, not just think about how it's going to affect me. Not just what I want, but what, watch this, this is bomb dropping revelation here, what we want. Going on vacation isn't just where I want to go, it's where we want to go. Right now, it's paint colors at our house. And there's about 7 colors on the wall. Pray. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know, y'all. Anyway, pray. It can't just be what I want. Because we would go with like a tool gray. You know what I'm saying? It's gray, but which shade of gray? It's got to be what we want. And this is what I found out whenever it comes to making decisions based on we. It takes work. It takes time. But the work is worth it. Empathy. Are you showing empathy? So watch this. How am I going to improve when it comes to empathy? Spend time imagining life through their perspective. Think about how they see things. And I want to say this because I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and a lot of times kids just kind of get glossed over, like they don't count, their opinions don't count, none of that counts. When we moved here to start Emerge Church, my kids were little, and we knew they had to grow up here. And I didn't want a 13-year-old son mad at the world because his mama and daddy moved him away from his friends. So we included them in the decision to move them here. We included them in the decision with the house that we were going to buy. Was it hard visiting 10 homes in one day with a realtor? And if you're a realtor, it's already tough just with husband and wife. I had the kids just to show one house. It is very hard. But it's worth it because it becomes a we decision instead of just a me decision. Because I have to think how it's going to affect them and not just what it's going to do for me. So in how we make decisions as families, let's be empathetic and say, how is this going to affect them with this decision? How is this going to be? What are they going through in school? Because listen, as a parent, you may be riding their case about their grades, and you may not be aware of some things that they're going through. Think of that. Maybe you're a student in here, and you're just mad at your parents because they always tell you no. I want to go here, and they said no. I want to buy this, and I tell you no. And listen, no sometimes is just, we don't have the money, and I didn't want to tell you that. I'm serious. And they don't know how to tell you we can't afford that. And so they just tell you no because they feel such a sense of guilt. They feel defeat whenever they have to tell you no because they can't afford it. Seriously, this is real stuff. This is why I need you to understand that this whole family stuff we're talking about, this is for all of us. Because some things for some of you, now that you're older, is making sense. You look back and you say, that's why they told me no. We were just broke. I didn't even realize it. Empathy. So watch this. What if we would intentionally sacrifice something that we want for the sake of our family? Sometimes it's saying no to some things we want so that we can say yes to the things that our family needs. Think of that in a number of different categories. That works financially, by the way. It's okay to say no. But it can't just be no all the time. You've got to give a yes. And why don't we say yes to family? Amen? But think about it through their perspective. Okay, so we got affection. We got empathy. Let's go to the third one. Okay, communication. Communication. One of the top issues in family is communication. This is how we define communication. Before I read you the written stuff that we're going to put up on the screen, this is how we define communication. You need to say it the way I like to say it and the way I like to hear it. Let me say that again. You need to say it the way I like to say it and the way I like to hear it. And we don't know if we can do that. And I used to think it was just husband and wife that had that little battle. And now I have kids in my family. And I realize we have that battle too. Let me take it another level for you. Do you know that not all kids are the same? There's boys and girls. And that boy is growing up to be a man. You don't believe me? Watch this. Cynthia asked the boys, how's their day? This is what they say. Good. What you got for homework? Math. How much? A lot. So what did you do today? Went to school, went to football, came home. No, give me the details. So this is what she says. Give me the girl version. And this is what they say. Oh, Mom, why? Ask Ella Pearl, how was her day? Grab a seat. Why am I sharing that with you? Because that's the reality of communication in our home. Sometimes we just treat the kids as though they're all the same. Not true. They're not. Do you see how there could be some issues with communication between a mom and a son? Yeah. Why? Because she's a woman and he's a man. Come on, y'all are scared to like agree with me. It's true. Same thing. I mean, it's just the nature of the difference between a man and a woman, and it shows up in our homes. So watch this. This is what communication is. The ability to honestly and openly communicate in a gracious manner. See, you got to say that in a gracious manner. Gracious. Look at your neighbor and say gracious. Not goodness gracious, but a gracious manner. And it's the ability to talk about your feelings. And I wonder, do we have that ability? Can we talk about the stuff in our home? See, a lot of times the stuff is, I need to tell you what you're doing. You notice how I did that, huh? I need to tell you what you're doing. Just point a little bit and tell you. And we have become a society of people that got really good at telling people off. You are not going to talk to me like that. Let me tell you something. You see how that works? And this has leaked into the communication in our family. No wonder we have communication barriers. We're telling each other off instead of telling each other, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm walking through. These are the things. Can you see how this is breaking down the family? But what if we really worked on it, how this could build up the family? So watch this. This is just an idea of how to improve. This is an idea, okay? Write out some things first. See, a lot of times our communication gets in trouble because we're off the cuff. That's where we tend to communicate what we feel. In other words, think about it before you say it. That right there is worth, gold right there. Think about it before you say it. That's why earlier I mentioned we're either going to be a thermostat or a thermometer. Because a thermometer is simply going to read the temperature and react. Rather than being a thermostat that says, this is going to be the temperature that we're going to keep this thing at. I think we can fight fair in our homes if we just set the temperature and say, we don't go any hotter than that. Come on, somebody. That's such good preaching right now. This is good stuff. People buy this on DVD. If we set the temperature and say, you know what? Okay, we're going to discuss this, and we might get a little rowdy about it, but this is as hot as we get right here. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's as hot as we get. And we'll bring one of the kids in here to referee this thing. Write out some things first, and then graciously communicate what you've written. At least you got a plan going in. Okay? Here's another thing I would recommend. Know when it's a good time to talk. Just because you're mad about it now doesn't mean right now is the right time to talk about it. Because, what if it's 2 a.m. and you want to wake them up to talk about it? I can tell you how that's going to go. See, they're not even mad at you about the issue. They're mad because you woke them up. Back in the day, I remember coming home from school one day, and my bedroom door was closed, and that never happened. And so I opened the bedroom door, and my room was just trashed. So I came, Mom, what's wrong with my room? She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, someone trashed my room. Who trashed my room? She said, I don't know. It looked worse before I got in there. You trashed my room. And we got into it right there because she messed my room up. And she said, well, you messed my room up before you messed your room up. We had a little communication moment. I was mad. She said, go clean it. I said, I ain't going to clean it. I'm going to tell Dad what you did. Good. Tell him. Tell your daddy what I did. he'll probably come mess it up again after you clean it. See, those, and I share that with you, that's not the best way to do it. But that's the attitude that leaks into our communication stuff. You see what are y'all grabbing this today? That little attitude. Oh, you ain't going to do that to me. And this stuff starts coming out in our communication. And so instead of talking with somebody, we start talking at somebody. And when we start talking at somebody, this is what they do. Okay? Husband and wife, father and son, brother and sister, all of them, all those relationships. It seems like we have a right to say that. This is what we believe. We feel like we have a right to say that because you are my family. I am your daddy. I am your husband. I am your wife. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, and can I tell you what that is? That is a prideful spirit that is rising up in us. And what does the Bible say about pride? Pride comes before. Oh. I think we could do better than this. Here's another thing to consider about communication. Can we have this conversation over the phone or should we have it in person? Should I send that text message with this much content? I'm going to answer that one for you. No. No. Because they get to interpret the tone, and they're going to interpret the tone based off the last time y'all had that kind of conversation. And you may be in a good mood. I'm sharing this because these are the little things right here that begins to break down our families and causes conflict. And when there's conflict, you can feel it throughout the home. Ugh, we don't want the kids to know we're fighting. They know. They already knew. We want them to know that everything is safe here. They already know. They feel it in the air. They can tell because you can't even look at each other at the kitchen table. They already know. Same thing when it's two siblings. Don't want mom and dad to know we're fighting. They know. We feel it. These are the things, and it's communication, okay? So let's be careful with the text messaging because we can get ourselves in trouble. I find it best to communicate face-to-face in person. Why? Because it communicates value, a value enough. And watch this. Let the other person be heard. I want to help the kids out here today. Parents, let your kids be heard, please. Please. Yeah, I'm your daddy. But at least hear them out. Or are they going to find someone else to talk to? And help them deal with stuff that you were meant to help them with. Amen? Come on. Communication. I could do an entire series on that one right there. Here's the next one, number four. Take it to another level. Confrontation. Confrontation. This is the ability to complain and confront your family member in a gracious and a timely manner. Have you ever been confronted by your child before? Let me ask this. Have you ever had to confront a parent before in your life? Raise your hand if you ever had to confront your parent. Your parents ever confronted you? Everybody's like. You know it's for real when your kids confront you. Can I say this? You know you got to have a healthy family when your kids can confront you. You know you have a healthy family when you can confront your spouse. Come on. See, you have a healthy family when a brother can confront his brother or his sister. These are healthy things. There has to be confrontation because sometimes people just don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know that made you mad. Who knew? I didn't know leaving the cabinet door would just cause you, leaving it open would make you lose your mind. I did not know that. I just. Shoes on the floor, I had no clue. I didn't know. It's things like that. I didn't know when I talked that way in public that it was making you feel belittled. I didn't know. I was just jabbing. I was just picking. I didn't know it was going to hurt your feelings. Confrontation helped me to learn those things. Confrontation done in the right way can be so healthy, because what's it doing? It's making our families better. Now, I'm not saying just it's open season on confrontation, and now today you're like riding in the car. All right, kids, family, let's talk about some things. I don't like the way you do this, and I don't like that, and y'all need to quit that. It drives me up a wall. You know, like, that's not what I'm talking about. It's like this. Hey, you know when you said that today? I don't know if you know this, but when you said that, that messed with me a little bit. I don't know. I usually don't feel this way, but when you said that, man, it just kind of messed with me. Notice my tone went down. Did it at the right time. And their reaction is, oh, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't realize what I was saying. Or it can sound like this. Don't you ever, ever talk to me like that again. Because the next time you do that, that's it. I'm out of here. You know what the reciprocation is going to be? Well, let me tell you. I can't talk about this right now. Kids are in the car. See what I'm saying? Healthy confrontation. This is why people won't confront stuff. They are afraid they're going to make it worse. Sometimes they're just passive. Sometimes they just had some experience with being bullied in the past for bringing something up. People get bullied in their own homes, by the way. So, here's the rule. Never confront when you're angry. That's got to be the rule. Never confront when you're angry. Because when you're angry, you can't contain it. You're going to unleash the beast. You're going to have every, you might even write it down. But when you're angry, you're angry. And that might take a few hours. That might take a few days. That might take a few weeks. Calm yourself down and then confront. And do it graciously. Because you have to understand, you also have the potential of being confronted. So do it graciously. The mercy you show to others is the mercy shown to you. So here's the verse, Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Gentle. Calm down. Simmer down, folks. Simmer down. Bring it down. In fact, if your voice is up here when you're trying to start the conversation, back away. What you mad at? Oh, football. Anyway, we're talking about something else. See what I'm saying? Like, back away. Back away. Calm down. And then. So watch this. Know the moment. Know the right moment. And here's the big one. Avoid the super rebuke. You know what the super rebuke is? Where you come with the laundry list of everything. And since we're talking. Trying to address your child on one thing. Wake up when the alarm goes off. And that leads to pick up your room. Do your homework. Do this. Do that. Do this. Quit this. You're driving me nuts. All that stuff. One time I heard the boys say this to each other. Just do it so we don't have to hear mom. Why do I tell you that? Listen, she's going to handle business. Don't worry about that. Okay. Because they're growing into men. You see what I'm saying? Like, all of this stuff, we lose sight of all of that. Because those are my babies. They are not just your babies. They're growing up. They're forming opinions, they're forming ideas, and you got a lot of dynamics to work with in your house, a lot of relationships. You got sibling relationships, you got spouse relationship, you got mother-son, mother-daughter, father-daughter. All those relationships are mixed up in your house, and we've got to manage them all. And it's going to take some work. Know the moment to confront. Avoid the super rebuke, that is multiple complaints in one moment. One thing at a time, y'all. One thing at a time. Okay? So here's the question to ask. When I'm finished, do they feel coached or do they feel crushed? In other words, did they learn some things about my feelings after I confronted them? Or did I just pound them? See, the crushing is from a spirit of revenge. The coaching is from a heart to repair, to redeem. So let's go into it with the idea of, hey, man, I want to be able to walk away from this thing and say, let's go eat. See what I'm saying? It's hard to eat with somebody you're mad at. It is. Let's talk about it, deal with it. You good? You good? I'm good. I'm good. All right, let's go have a steak. Or for you vegan people, let's go have kale. Here's the last one. Let's finish. Last one is feedback. Feedback. This is the ability to receive complaints, correction, and input in a gracious manner without being defensive or hostile. Can I receive it? Can I receive this stuff without being hostile? Okay? So there's this one author, he's a Christian author, he does a lot of family stuff. He said, feedback is the breakfast of champions. How do we know how well we're doing? Like, am I getting better at this? Well, you confronted me on it like 2 weeks ago. Am I doing better or just still the same? Think about that child. Am I getting better? I mean, you keep sending me to my room. I don't know. Are we good? Feedback. When I was a kid, I remember my dad disciplined me, and we're finishing up right here because I could tell you're worried. My dad would discipline us, and my dad believed in spanking. And maybe you agree with it, maybe you don't, but my dad, he used it, and it shaped my life and me. But he would say, head to your room. I'll come in there in a moment. And you knew what was about to happen. I mean, let's not pretty this up. And he'd come in there, and he would spank us. We called it whipping. Spanking felt a little light compared. He would whip us. And this is what he would tell us. He said, I want you to think about what you did and why you did it and why I had to discipline you. And I'll be back in a few moments to talk about it. And man, he'd give us about 10 minutes, and you're in there, and you're just crying your face off. Yeah, it was tough times. And he would come back in there. Let me say this, because some of you already hate my dad because of that. That 10-minute later conversation were some of the moments I felt the closest to my dad. Seriously. Because he would go back and say, so this is what you did, and this is why I'm disciplining you. Because I love you, son, and I'm going to help you be the man you're supposed to be. And I'm doing this to correct you and get you back on the right track. That's what I'm trying to do here. And he would always make sure that he would follow up. Just a little follow up. And can I tell you, those things that he would whip me for, I wouldn't do it again. And it wasn't because I was afraid of the whipping. They hurt now. But I was at the point, I just didn't want to disappoint him. Those moments were golden, man. They were incredible. Was there a confrontation? Oh, yeah. Was there communication? Mm-hmm. A lot of confrontation. But it corrected me and got me back on the right track. And he would let me know. He pulled me aside and he said, hey, you're doing a lot better with that. Good job. All right, Dad. You're a pretty good dude after all. I'm sharing this with you today because a lot of our opinions about stuff has been formed by dysfunction. A lot of our opinions about families, marriages, sibling relationships, parent-child relationships, child-parent relationships, we've drawn our ideas of what they are from dysfunction. But I want to say something. Not all of those relationships are messed up. So let's not stereotype everything. Listen, marriage is not a ball and chain, amen? It's not. It's awesome. And if you think marriage is a ball and chain, perhaps you saw something or heard something or experienced something that made you believe that. But it's not like that for everybody. Can I say this? Not everybody's dad is a piece of trash. Yeah, I'm using intense language right now because they're not. Yeah, are there dads out there that need to step up their game? Yeah, but there are some incredible dads out there. In fact, there are some incredible dads in this room right here. Listen, not all wives are words that you would use that you can't use at church. They're not. There are some incredible wives out there that love their husband, honor their husband, do a great job in their home, all these great things. There are incredible wives out there. Let's not lead ourselves to believe that every woman is just like that. It's not true. And listen, same thing with teenagers. Now we're really preaching. I had to put the notes up. Every teenager is not rebellious. Come on, thank you for clapping on that. I'm trying to help the kids today. They're not all rebellious, and not every parent is just mean to their kids. But these are the things that we draw these conclusions because of what we've seen and heard, and we always want to defend the guy who got the word no told to him. Always want to take up for them. I need you to know that there are some incredible families out there. In fact, your family might be doing better than what you're giving it credit for. You're just comparing it to somebody else. You might actually be doing better. So we're sharing this with you because I believe we can have incredibly healthy families, which means we can have happy families. How many of y'all want to be happy? We got to go to work, y'all. That's what I'm saying. Let's pray. Lord, we're learning a lot here, and there's a lot more for us to learn. But Father, we need your Holy Spirit to put this stuff to work. So Lord, we're bringing the materials to the job site, the qualities that we need. But Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help us work on these things in our family. Help us to work out these relationships so that they can be solid and healthy and everything that you plan for families to be. So we can sit there and say, this is us. We're a happy family. We're a strong family. And now we're doing kingdom business. We're helping others be everything that God wants them to be. Today, as you're sitting here, I'm thinking about that person that maybe doesn't know if they're loved. Maybe is dealing with some guilt. Maybe I shared some things today. It makes you feel like you got some things to work on. Or maybe it's got you to the point you realize, I'm away from God. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And today I want to give you an invitation to come close to Jesus. To have a relationship with Him. A relationship where He can forgive you, He can redeem you, and set you up to be the person that He created you to be. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've been doing things, committing sins, and I'm away from God. But today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to choose Him. Let Him be my salvation. Let Him be the leader of my life. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to slip up a hand real quick. Maybe it's been a while. You've been away from God. Today, this was your day. You were supposed to be here. God's saying, come close. He wants a relationship with you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Yeah. Anyone else? Every Sunday, we pray this prayer together as a church family. Because we're all in this together. We want you to make it. And so we're going to pray this together, all together this morning. Will you repeat this after me? Say, dear Lord, thank you for loving me unconditionally. With all of my flaws, knowing all the decisions that I've made, the right ones and then the wrong ones. And I ask you today to forgive me of my sins and make me a new person, the person that you created me to be. So I surrender my life all to you, all my opinions, all of my habits, all the ways that I do life, I surrender it to you, and I choose to follow your ways. Thank you that you went to the cross to die for my sins, to pay the price so that I could be forgiven. And I thank you that you promise me a new chance. So, Lord, I'm all yours in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's clap our hands today for those who made that.